Welcome in to Vern's postgame show.
God, a home run! A three-run homer for Salvador Perez!
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Fournier.
All right, good evening. Royals lose again. Make that seven straight. The longest losing streak we've seen in more than a year. You have to go back to June of... Well, you know what? Let's not talk about last year. Let's talk about this one. A 7-1 final score. As the Royals are now 4-9 in this 20-game stretch we call the Riptide. 20 straight games against playoff teams and only playoff teams. We're seeing the strength of the Riptide, right? And yet, despite this Riptide showing its ability to take this Royals ball club underwater, what we're seeing is they've now lost, 9 of 13 to start off this Riptide. We're seeing this stretch's ability to drown this team's postseason hopes. And yet, every time things look or feel dire, I take a look at that out-of-town scoreboard, and I see Alex Cora and Rafi Devers and the Boston Red Sox swimming up and doing all they can to help this Royals ball club keep breathing. So, to start this off tonight, it's a very simple question. Is it all good? Yeah, the Royals have lost 7 in a row. But they maintain a 4.5 game cushion on that playoff spot they currently possess. Now, there's another team sitting 4.5 games back as the Detroit Tigers have entered the conversation. Tigers and Red Sox, 4.5 games back with 22 to play. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. Is it whatever, NBD, get ready for Seth Lugo tomorrow? Because if I'm being honest with you, the only thing I've asked of this team since Vinny went down in that disastrous eighth inning in Houston back on Thursday, the only thing I've asked of this team is to just hang on. You get to October, they don't ask for your resume. They don't care about your strength of schedule. They don't mind if you don't finish strong. Shoot, you remember 2015. That team limped into the playoffs after a rough month of September. So is it all whatever? Yeah, they've lost 7 in a row. Sure, the offense has scored a grand total of 17 runs in this 7-game skid. But they're hanging on. Now, they're not hanging on. Boston seems to be propping them up. But whatever, that's fine by me. Now, I ask this because 2 nights ago on this show, I was deemed too doom and gloom. Pick yourself up, Vern. The team's up 4.5 games for the wild card. What are you so down for? Yesterday, I tried to pick it up and was accused of not holding the team accountable. So I'm going to turn it over to you. Is it all good? Your team's lost 7 in a row, but they're still 10 games above 500, and nobody in the American League right now is capitalizing. I see Seattle just coughed up a lead. Well, Seattle could join Detroit and Boston at 4.5 games back of the Royals if they can win in Oakland. A task that is honestly very difficult for a lot of teams since the All-Star break, but I want to know from you. Turn the page, no big deal. Hey, as long as Boston keeps losing, who cares? Now, I want to say no, but I can't. I think it is all good. Now, I'm not celebrating. I don't think this was a game where you celebrate. But I'm not going to hang my head. 22 games to play. You're 4.5 games up. The starting pitching is strong. The offense remains non-existent. I don't know when or where that changes, but you have 22 games to hope that here and there it changes, right? You don't need the Royals to get red hot down the stretch. Just hang on. Well, let me hear from you. If you were one of the just shy of 15,000 in the building tonight, we're not going to make you wait on hold. That's for sure. Phone lines are open. 913-586-7965. JD was in the building tonight. JD, how you feeling, buddy?
Man, I don't even know what to say. It seemed like the dogs had more energy than the people tonight. I don't know where this team, the offense went. It's just become pathetic. I have a question. What is the deal? Are they going to play Grossman anytime, or are they going to play any of their other subs? Maybe the guys just need a day off. And that's what I honestly think.
Who are you talking about?
Like, just a regulars. Like, I think maybe Frazier should play or Blanco or just, I don't know, just give some life, because this team just right now has no life. And they're lucky Boston and everybody else is losing, because they would be in deep trouble if they weren't. That's all I got to say, Vern. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, JD. Nice to hear from you. There are no bad ideas. Okay. Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to dissect that. Fine. JD, you want Adam Frazier and Robbie Grossman to come to the rescue? God love you. All right. Let's go to Mitchell. Mitchell was one of the 14,000 in the building that saw the Royals lose 7-1. Mitchell, what stands out to you?
Hey, well, I wanted to talk to the caller right before me, and I want to say, no, not Adam Frazier. That is not the guy. I mean, he has better presence. He's done good things, but in his lineup, just no. I'd rather MJ. I'd rather Hunter Renfro when he comes back. Just it's not him. And I just want to say I was at the game tonight, and it was a beautiful place.
Yes, it was.
And to all those fans that were struggling with how we're doing. It's lovely out there. Get yourself out to a game. It's beautiful. Thank you, Vern.
I appreciate it. Yeah, listen, we're too deep into the season. There's no reason to beg people to come out to Kauffman Stadium. Either they're coming or they're not. And I'll tell you what, you know, 14,000 in the building. Now, Stu mentioned it a moment ago. That base is loaded, nobody out opportunity in the sixth inning. You guys made it sound like you often do, like twice the amount of people. Sounded like 30 large in that sixth inning. Now, unfortunately, the Royals only score one in that sixth inning. Royals tonight 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. During this seven-game losing streak, the team is 6-for-37. That's a batting average of .162. Honestly, I think that's somewhat misleading. Because there's only two bats you want at the dish in a big spot, right? Bobby and Salvi. Well, during this seven-game losing streak, Bobby and Salvi have had a grand total of 4 at-bats with a runner in scoring position. Now, they've had other plate appearances, right? Salvi had a plate appearance tonight. Bobby had a plate appearance tonight with a runner in scoring position. But Steven Vogt's no fool. He's not going to let Salvi beat you, no. Tanner Bibee makes Salvi wear one in the first inning. Let's get this over with here. Wear 95, take first base, and let me go after Paul DeJong. A leadoff double by Tommy Pham in the sixth inning. They're not going to let Bobby drive him home. No, we're going to put him on, take your walk, move on. Yeah, Bobby and Salvi are 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position in this seven-game losing streak. The rest of the team is 6-for-33. That's a batting average of .182. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. Let's go to Jeremy in Independence. Jeremy, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Vern? Love your show. I was out there at the Crafton Draft, and it was beautiful. It was a gorgeous night. But the first caller was right. The dogs were louder in the first five innings. It was really eerie. I was there Monday, yep. And there was twice as many people, and you could hear the energy in the building. I just think that, you know, maybe you move DeJong to the third spot and move Massey down. I think you need somebody to protect Bobby behind there. So they're,
well, wouldn't Salvi be a better option then?
Maybe moving Salvi up, yeah. Make DeJong in the fourth spot. That way, when you do walk him, hey, you're gonna have to face somebody that, you know, may drive both of them home now. You know, that'll give them a, you know, an extra thing to have to deal with. But one hit through five innings, I mean, you're not going to win many baseball games like that. And that was two games in a row at home. You know, I'm a very optimist person. I do believe Lugo is the stopper. And I just wanted to say that and have a nice day.
Yeah, you do the same. Thank you very much for the phone call. Nice to hear from you, Jeremy. Listen, I'm not going to pile on the fans, right? We can't sit here, and I'm speaking for the station, right? I listen to way too much sports radio, but I've heard plenty of people challenging Royals fans. Come on out to Kauffman Stadium. Come on, I dare you. So to the people that come out, I'm not going to then chastise you. You've already done what so many others choose not to, and that is spend money on this team. So, yeah, the 14,813 in the building, no, weren't the noisiest bunch. Now, thank God for that little suite of, you know, it seemed like, I don't know if it was a Little League team, but them chanting Bobby and then Massey and Salvi, they even started chanting Paul DeJong. I turned to someone in the press box and said, well, thank God they're excited because it doesn't seem as if anybody else right now is excited. Well, understandably, the team hasn't given you much to be excited about of late. Now, starting pitching has given you plenty to cheer about. Brady Singer is worthy of applause, just like Michael Wacha was yesterday and Alec Marsh was on Sunday, Cole Reagans for at least those first five on Saturday. Seth Lugo, your guy, he was outstanding back on Friday. Brady was good the last time we saw him. The pitching hasn't been the problem. Well, the starting pitching hasn't been the problem. But as far as that three spot is concerned, yeah, to me, it's obviously Salvi. And I'm of the thought that I want my three best hitters coming to the plate in the first inning no matter what. And Bobby and Salvi, I think we would all agree, are two of the three best hitters, so they need to be in the top three. I have no issue with Tommy Pham in the leadoff spot. Tommy Pham's just steady hitting bullets since joining this Royals team. Tonight he goes 1-for-4 with a leadoff double and comes around to score the Royals' only run. Pham has three hits and three starts since joining the boys in blue. Now, earlier today, Paul Hoover was asked by Annie Rogers and myself about that three spot. Michael Massey getting the nod in the three spot. So far, in three games as the number three hitter, Massey's 0-for-11. 0-for-11 with a walk. A 10-pitch, two-on, nobody-out walk in the sixth inning. That was impressive by Massey. So, yeah, Pham, Bobby, Salvi, three straight righties coming at you. And Paul Hoover's response was, well, we like the lefty in between Bobby and Salvi because when we get late in the game, we don't want the opposition to be able to just bring out the righties and they attack our right-handed hitters at the top. All right. Well, personally, if I'm a right-handed reliever, I think I would rather face Michael Massey or MJ Melendez, even though they're left-handed. I think I'd rather go up against them than I would Salvador Perez. Salvi tonight 1-for-3, and he is hit by a pitch. His team-leading 10th hit by pitch. All right, phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. Let's go to Robert in Overland. Oh, nope, we lost Robert. Let's try Brian in Maryville. Brian, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Vern, thanks for taking my call. I'll answer your initial question, and then I've got a question of my own. Yes, of course, I would love to make the playoffs. But I'll say this. I'd rather play well right now. So I'm not excited about losing and Boston losing. Yes, I'm glad we're still up 4.5 games. But I want this team to play well. I don't want to back into the playoffs. I don't want to get into the playoffs and be embarrassed to be there. So I want this team to play well, and we're not playing well right now.
Well, they're, you know, let me ask you this then. What aren't, you know, who isn't playing well?
Well, I think you've listed right now we're not hitting well at all. So,
but I don't know who's disappointing. Like who do I expect more out of in this offense?
I think Vern, when you only get two hits in the first 6 to 7 innings, we can say up and down the lineup we're not hitting well.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to pin it on any one player. I would just say this entire team right now is not hitting well, and I think we've proven that in several games. The question I have is, and you've throughout the season and night in, night out, you just made the point, our starting pitching is strong.
Yep.
I would say that's the strongest aspect of this team the entire year.
Now, they haven't been as strong as they were early on. We're not getting the quality start every other game like we did for the first 3.5 months of the season.
True, but we are also pulling them in the fifth inning, or the sixth inning, I'm sorry. The last several games, we've been pulling them early to go to a bullpen that's, I would say, has been our weakest point the entire season. I understand we're not scoring many runs right now, but I'm not sure why we are relying on the bullpen to pitch 3-plus innings of scoreless ball to win the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the phone call. Nice to hear from you, Brian. You know, there's a lot that goes into it, and it's not, you know, as consistent, I think, as maybe you're leading some odd to believe. Now, could Singer have finished off that sixth inning? Could Urseg have finished off that eighth inning? Possibly. But 5 2/3 innings of two-run baseball from Brady Singer. Yeah, I think in April, May, June, maybe even July, that's 6-plus innings from Brady. Michael Wacha last night, what I'm getting at is, you know, Brady setting a career high in innings pitched. You know, Lugo, Reagans, Marsh, they're all surpassing their career high. So I'm sure some of that goes into it. Well, ideally, yeah, you ride these starters 3 times through the lineup. Now, yesterday, could they have sent Michael Wacha back out for the sixth? Yeah, I think so. But after the game, Paul Hoover explained, 27-pitch fifth inning, some high-intensity ABs in that fifth inning. Wacha was spent. You know, Alec Marsh the night before, I don't know how much more you expect out of Marsh, 5 innings of work. Now, Cole Reagans obviously deserved to be pulled in the sixth as he fell apart. Seth Lugo gave you 7 strong. He was just outdone by Framber Valdez. Now, Brady Singer gave you a quality start before that. Michael Wacha went 6 and tried to push it into 7 back on Wednesday, back when the losing streak started. Right, the bullpen was wiped out from that doubleheader on Tuesday. Wacha attempts to man up for the boys, gave it everything that he had, just didn't have anything left in that seventh inning. And yeah, you've had a rested bullpen. Yeah, to me, that hasn't been the problem. And you said as much. You're not blaming. You're not blaming the starting pitcher either. Now, I will point out this is now 8 straight games where their starting pitcher has a better final line than our starting pitcher. Again, not saying that Royals starting pitching is underperformed or has fallen short of the standard or has disappointed in the least bit. But I can't believe that there's ever been a stretch like this all season. Well, of course there hasn't. They haven't lost 7 straight all year. I mean, 8 straight games where the other starting pitcher outdoes your starting pitcher, that spits in the face of everything that has been the 2024 Royals. is they fall back to 10 games below 500. Excuse me, 10 games above 500. Oh, my God, could you imagine? Whew. Not difficult to imagine if you remember last season. And as far as the offense, yeah, listen, I understand that it as a whole is disappointing. And this is where I upset some of you yesterday on the postgame show when I opened up saying Royals lose 7-2 and I'm not disappointed in anyone. I honestly, I feel like I could say the same thing about this game today. Royals lose 7-1 and who am I disappointed in? Sam Long for leaving that slider in the middle to the number 9 hitter? Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't know how high on the totem pole or how much praise and recognition and respect Sam Long has earned, you know? Lucas Ursa. Yeah, see, this is the thing right now. Singer and the starters are doing what they do. Bobby and Salvi are doing what they can. But if the bat's taken out of their hands, you know, then you're looking at the other seven in the starting lineup and not a one of them has been a consistent big leaguer where you say, all right, go do your thing. Go out there and lead the way. Now, who else in this lineup do you feel comfortable saying, hey, go get them, man. Go lead the way. Go show the boys how to get it done. Go pick up Bobby and Salvi. They're not going to get the chance. You need to get it done. Who? Who is that? 913-586-7965. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Chase, who's out in Lawrence. Chase, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, Vern, I'd like to say I'm with you, man. I was in the game tonight, and bottom of the sixth, man, we had bases loaded, no outs, and we're hitting line drives, man. I mean, that's what you want to do, right? Bases loaded, no outs, you want to hit line drives. And, I mean, I'll give it to the team. It was just unfortunate tonight. You know, we're hitting line drives with bases jack, no outs. I mean, you expect runs that inning. You know, you expect runs. And it just didn't happen tonight. You know, I know a lot of people see this as the seventh loss in a row. But the reality is, this was our game to win. I mean, we were there. We were hitting the ball well. I don't lose confidence in this team based on what we did tonight because we were hitting the ball hard based on the situation. And, I'm with you. And I mean, let's go. Let's go.
Come on now, Chase. I appreciate the phone call, buddy. Yeah, sixth inning, Royals are down 2-0. Tommy Pham, first pitch that he sees, a fastball that splits the plate at his knees. He ropes it into left center field for a leadoff double. Bobby Witt Jr. then walks. Michael Massey draws the 10-pitch walk to load the bases with nobody out. Salvi on the first pitch that he sees hits a screamer into left. Stephen Kwan makes the play. Tommy Pham thought about going home and didn't get back in time to tag up. Thankfully, Paul DeJong followed with a rocket to left of his own. Pham tags up and scores. 2-1 Cleveland. Two on, two outs for MJ Melendez. He goes down swinging through 97. Oh, big punch out. Big punch out there. Couple of big punch outs in the eighth inning with two on and two outs. Paul DeJong swings through an 0-2 slider. Again, you know, Paul DeJong, are we disappointed in Paul DeJong who took an 0-for-3 tonight with that sack fly? DeJong goes 0-for-2 with runners in scoring position. You expect more out of Paul DeJong? It's fine if you do. MJ, Massey. Now, we need more out of MJ and Massey. But I don't know if I feel comfortable depending on it, demanding it, expecting it. You tell me. 913-586-7965. The Royals have scored 3 runs or less in a season-high 6 consecutive games, the longest streak in more than 2 years. My game notes following this 7-1 Royals loss are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know when call Jay's Southland Tow. All right, let's go to Raj in the Ozarks. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Raj, how's life treating you?
Life's good tonight, Vern. It's a spectacular night out here tonight in the Ozarks. Absolutely beautiful. I'm sure it was great at the ballpark, too.
It was nice. I got to imagine you got it a little bit better right now.
Vern, gosh, that's at least the 16th start for Brady that the Royals have scored two runs or less. It's a wonder he's not in the Walnut House right now.
Yeah.
But, hey, I got to visit with one of my favorite baseball people down here, Arthur, 80-year-old man with a half pint in his back pocket, so I don't ask him too many questions, but he's a walking encyclopedia on horses and baseball. And I threw a couple of Royals questions out there because he doesn't follow it much anymore, but he goes, you know what? They sound like the 71 Orioles. And I go, what do you mean by that? He said, Palmer, McNally, Dobson, and Cuellar. Four great starters. They had each had over 30 starts that year.
Yeah.
He said, you know what they did? They stacked them at the end. And I go, stacked them? What do you mean? He goes, at one point, they were two of them were warming up in the bullpen to come in. He said they stacked them to get wins to get to the finish line. Mm-hmm. Now, I could see doing that with Singer. Going five with Lugo, four with Singer on the back end, coming in with Urse in the ninth. And it's been done before by a great team. I went and read about it, and the guy was on point. Vern,
but I don't think you start doing that until you're like in the final week and a half of the season. Right,
right. Vern, okay. At what point would you do that? I say 16 games to go, depending on the standings. Maybe down to 10 or 8.
Let me look at the off days, because it's certainly interesting. Raj, always nice hearing from you, man. Always get us thinking. I appreciate it.
Vern,
right,
you're hanging on. Your hang-on deal?
Yeah.
I was telling him about that. I said the show host says just to hang on. Vern, all the baseball the guy knows, his favorite athlete is Steve Coffin, the jockey who rode a firm to the Triple Crown. Okay. And he said, hang on. He goes, you know what? Steve Coffin's secret was when he hit the final turn, he never pulled back on the reins ever. If he fell off, he was going to fall off. So let's go, Royals. Turn him loose. We're on the final turn. And just hang on. Let's get to the finish line. Talk to you, Vern.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much. Yeah, I don't think you do that until the final six games of the season. I mean, I guess you could, starting with the Giants series, so the final nine games of the season. You know, suddenly that Detroit series, which starts up in 2 weeks, suddenly that is important. I don't know how much of a believer in the Detroit Tigers I am. I think I buy the Boston Red Sox more so, but who knows? Boston's not on the schedule. Right? Detroit can make some noise coming up right here at Kauffman Stadium, coming up in 2 weeks during the final homestand of the season. Only 10 home games left. And yeah, my only goal right now is to just hang on. You know, previous caller said, oh, I don't want to back into the postseason. I don't want to get to the playoffs and embarrass ourselves. Honestly, getting to the playoffs could be the best thing to happen to this team, could allow some of that pressure to be relieved. You know, suddenly the guys that are struggling don't see that batting average. The relievers that are struggling don't see that ERA at all. Serves as a reset. You remember what it did for Mike Moustakas back in 2014. Why can't that be the case for Michael Garcia or MJ Melendez? Melendez, who was one of the 20 best hitters in baseball in the month of August. So I'm not saying he's down and out, but he's still chasing that disastrous first half of the season that he had. You know, the season numbers of a Tommy Pham aren't where he wants them. Get him to October, clear those numbers, and let's start anew. Anything can happen in October. Just hang on. That's all I want you to do. Now, you're not doing a great job of it right now, but thankfully, Jaron Duran and the rest of the Boston Red Sox are lending a helping hand to boost you up and maintain that spot you have in the third and final wildcard spot in the American League. Raj, thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Dan in Kansas City. Dan, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh, how you doing? Yeah, I know the Royals are going through a hard time, but, you know, I back in the playoffs, I just want to get to the playoffs. I mean, if we play well, we play well. But, you know, it'll turn around. You see, you get that key hit. Almost, Salvador came close tonight, you know, so let's go with Lugo tomorrow. Take care of yourself, Josh.
Let's go to Jake. Jake was one of the nearly 15,000 in the building. Jake, what stood out to you?
Hey, so my wife is blind and her friend was blind, and they had a blast going around petting all the dogs.
Nice.
I personally got 6 of those dollar hot dogs in me, and I bought 6 more to bring home or dropping off my sisters. So even though we lost, we had a great time. My wife and her mother talk every morning, and they think that the Royals should leave that starting pitcher in, even though he's worn out, one more inning and use one less inning of the bullpen. I don't know what to think about that. So we had a fun time, even though we lost.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. And you know what? Thanks for the phone call. I have 2 tickets to tomorrow night's game. We'll give these away before I get out of here tonight. Right now, though, got to take a quick timeout. We get back to your thoughts, and we'll head inside that Royals clubhouse after this.
You're listening to Vern's Postgame Show.
Witt dives, smothers it on the grass, to his feet, throw to first. Oh, he got him! What a play! Bobby Witt Jr.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Here's the 1-0. And a swing and a liner toward the alley in left center. Over to make the catch is Kwan. This time Pham tags. This time he'll score. And the Royals have their first run of the night. They're down 2-1.
That would be their only run of the night. Steve Stewart has heard here on 96.5 The Fan. That made it 2-1 Cleveland. Royals would lose 7-1. Their 7th straight loss. And yet, during this 7-game losing streak, they've lost a total of 2 games on the Boston Red Sox. At the beginning, Boston was 6.5 games back, and now they're only 4.5 games back. 22 to play. Royals just need to hang on. A 4.5 game lead over the Boston Red Sox and the Detroit Tigers, and possibly the Seattle Mariners before the end of the night. 22 to play. Just get there. Just hang on. 913-586-7965. Jason was one of the near 15,000 in the building tonight. Jason, what stands out to you?
I'll tell you what, Vern. It was an amazing night out there weather-wise. And even for all the complaining that's gone on, like when the bases were loaded, everybody was on their feet. Okay, even upstairs, downstairs, people were on their feet. The vibe was there. People want, we're ready. We're ready to return to the 2013-2014 level. I think the fans there, maybe not, it's not a full stadium, but I think people are ready. And I want to address one thing. I was out in New York last week at the stadium, and their stadium music, their hype, it's almost like a DJ club type atmosphere. Our music out at the stadium, I don't know if you've noticed it, but, man, it's almost been like half the time it's like a downer. It's not something you can get up and groove to. I'm out at Yankee Stadium, and you got 60, 70, 80-year-old men and women on their feet just dancing and grooving out there like it's like they're at the clubs. And
there's more than 14,000 at Yankee Stadium, though, right?
That's true. There's 30,000 out there, but, I mean, for real, though, the atmosphere is just better. Now, here's a couple things I want to say. One is, who's going to be our James Shields? I don't know if you've talked about this. I haven't listened for a few nights, but I don't know.
Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans have been James Shields all year.
I'm talking about the guy that brings the lights and the smoke and the we're not going to lose attitude into the clubhouse. Not like Tommy Pham come in and be like, I'm going to teach this squad, you know, how to not lose. I'm a winner. We're going to win and that type of thing. But James Shields, you remember Shields,
yeah,
dude.
Oh, yeah,
you know what he brought to that clubhouse. We don't have anybody in that clubhouse right now. I don't feel like that brings that same vibe, just a loose energy. It seems like everybody's swinging tight right now. Even the pitchers starting to tighten up a little bit. And the last thing on the other side of who's going to be the James Shields is it would have felt good to me to spend that $12 million to pick up Tyler Rogers. That $12 million, I think, would have been well spent. I'm done. I appreciate you, Vern. Keep optimistic. We got this.
Great phone call. Who's the James Shields? Well, it has to be someone with playoff experience, obviously. So that eliminates more than half the roster. Salvi, he leads the way he's always led. Paul DeJong, I don't see him as that. Shields was unique, man. A baller on the mound, a bulldog on the mound. Wild boy off the mound. But a leader, a hard worker, a great teammate. Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, they check most of those boxes. They're just a little bit more, with all due respect to James Shields, they're just a little bit more of adults than James Shields was. Right? James Shields was, he was one of the boys. Right? Let's get after it a little bit. What are we doing on this road trip? Where are we going? What spots are we hitting? I don't see that from Seth Lugo. To me, Seth Lugo's, yes, a great teammate, a great leader, but a great father and a great husband. Not saying that James Shields wasn't, or isn't. I just don't see Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha at this point in their career, 34, 33 years old, respectively. I don't see them as one of the young bulls. James Shields stayed a young bull. And I don't know who else it can be other than Tommy Pham. Yeah, Tommy Pham's probably the closest, but the guy's been here for like 15 minutes. And he hasn't been a part of a win yet. Hasn't been able to celebrate in that clubhouse yet. So until you do something to help the team win, you don't really feel completely a part of the team yet. Until you've been in the middle of that post-game celebration, getting the beers dumped on you, he's still former White Sox, former Cardinal Tommy Pham before you really get ingrained into that clubhouse. Nice to hear from you, Jason. Let's go to Chase. Chase was in the building tonight. Royals lose 7-1. Chase, what do you think?
Vern, I appreciate you taking me call. Yes. It's rough, man. We've lost 7 in a row, but I will say I was there tonight. It was bases loaded, no outs, and we hit two line drives, man. We hit two line drives, unfortunately, right two fielders, okay?
Yeah, what about
it's
the punch
tough.
Out? Yeah, okay.
I mean, you're right, Vern. Yes, the punch out is tough. But I mean, let's be real, man. I mean, I'm a guy who believes in there's luck in the game of baseball, okay? And we got unlucky tonight, okay? We had bases loaded, no outs. We hit line drives.
You lost by six runs. You lost by six runs.
Yes, we lost by six runs. You're completely right. But we had a chance in that sixth inning to make it a good game.
Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, Chase, here's the thing. The Royals don't suck. There's no reason to celebrate, hey, they were in the game. They've been in almost every game all season. That's what elite starting pitching affords you. Now, this is the kind of conversations you and I had in April and May where you're like, boy, oh boy, even when they lose, they're still in it. Boy, even when they lose, it comes down to a play here in the sixth or a pitch there in the seventh. Man, this rotation's outstanding. Yeah, that's still the case, but unfortunately now with the absence, the injury to Vinny Pasquantino, the way you were winning a lot of those games was because of the bats of Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi. Dive into the numbers, man. Look at the amount of heavy lifting that those three did. It was remarkable. I think at times a lot of fans and media alike took those numbers for granted of, wow, man, can you believe three of the five best hitters with runners in scoring position this season are on the Royals? Wow, three of the top 15 OPSs with runners in scoring position are Kansas City Royals. There's no other team in the sport that can say that. Wow, that's cool. But when one of those guys goes down, you can't replace that. You can't replace one of the 15 most clutch hitters in the sport. I'm sorry, it's a good team. they're in games because they have a great rotation, a very good defense, solid base running, an MVP candidate hitting second, and a future Hall of Famer hitting cleanup. Maybe a bump Salvi up tomorrow. We'll see. Seth Lugo on the mound tomorrow, 6:40 for the first pitch. And I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show and another chance for you to win Royals tickets tomorrow at 5:30 right here on 96.5 The Fan. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. Again, we can all hold two thoughts in our heads at the same time. On one hand, this season will always be remembered fondly. And on the other side, yeah, it's getting a little testy right now. Getting a little tight. But I'll go back to my original point that I said to start the show. I think it's all good. I'm asking the team to just hang on. And they're doing it. I mean, they're not doing it. Boston is helping them do it. 22 to play. A 4.5 game cushion. I'll take it. I'll take it. Let's go to Jeff in Cleveland. Jeff, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, good evening, Brian. Good evening, Kansas City. As I told your screener, I'm not calling to boast or gloat at all because there's nothing to boast or gloat about.
No, we won the season series. Right.
Exactly. And, you know, just to show you how funny baseball is, this time last week, it was gloom and doom here. And to your point, to your last caller's point, that inning when the bases were loaded and there was nobody out, those two balls that got hit last week, when they played here, those have been in the gap, and the Guardians would have been getting their doors blown off again like they did last week. That just shows you how baseball is. However, your team has a lot to be encouraged about this year. I'm not talking about tonight, and there's no such thing as a good loss. But when you look at your starting pitching and it comes playoff time, that's what wins come playoff time. You just have to figure out your bullpen and hope that somebody comes forward there. The encouraging thing about my team is that now the starting pitching is starting to round into form. Tonight was the third straight quality start, and it seems like since the additions of Matthew Boyd and Alex Cobb.
Nobody in Kansas City cares about Matthew Boyd, Jeff. You have anything else to say about us?
Well, yes. You guys are formidable, and the race is not over yet.
Yeah, okay, we know this. Jeff, I appreciate the phone call, buddy. It's just getting a little demeaning. Thanks a pant load. I know you're trying to be nice. You guys haven't won a title since 1948. I'm not trying to hear you tell anything to Kansas City. Jeff, thanks for the phone call. Enjoy Cleveland. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. I'm sorry, I just didn't want to hear any more of it. Jeff seems like a really nice guy. I'm sure he is a really nice guy, but you start telling me about what Matthew Boyd means to your team, stop. And yeah, we know we have a really good rotation. I'll be honest with you, though. I don't know if I can get with what Jeff and a lot of you have said before of, man, with this rotation, boy, we can make some noise in the postseason. Now, before I get into this, anything can happen in the playoffs, right? Of course, we know that. But come the playoffs, most teams don't allow their starting pitcher to face a lineup a third time through, right? Most of the upper echelon teams in October are not going to let Bobby Witt Jr. face the starting pitcher a third time. They're not going to let Jose Ramirez face the starting pitcher a third time. No, you figure Ramirez, Bobby, they get four at-bats. Now, your starting pitcher takes care of two of them. Your big dog at the back end of the bullpen takes care of the fourth. And your second or third best reliever takes care of that third at-bat. Well, right now, this Royals team, come the postseason, you would have to believe. Now, we'll see where Hunter Harvey is if and when the Royals make it to October. We'll see where Michael Lorenzen is when this team hopefully gets to October. But as of today, when Jose Ramirez comes to the dish, or when Gunnar Henderson comes to the plate in the seventh inning, do you want Lugo, Reagan, Singer, Waka facing them? Or do you want someone other than Lucas Erceg facing him. Now, right now, I'll take Waka, Reagans, Lugo, Singer over everyone not named Erceg. So, yeah, the starting pitching, again, like we were just discussing, will keep the Royals in games. But it's going to come down to those final four frames. And who has more gasoline in that bullpen? Who has more swing and miss in that bullpen? And as our buddy from Cleveland just mentioned, the Royals bullpen has been the issue all season, no doubt. But you know what? As I say that, let's hope we're having that discussion in a few weeks. Less than 4 weeks remaining in this season, let's hope we're talking about how the Royals pitching staff lines up with Baltimore or the Yankees. Or I guess it would be Houston, right? Yeah, I think if the Royals grabbed the sixth seed, yeah, they would end up facing the Houston Astros. Whew, yo. All right. Now, whatever. Bring it on. Just get there. Just hang on. Let's go back to the phone calls. Let's go to Gina in South Kansas City. Gina, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hi, Byron. I just have a suggestion. Why doesn't the nutritionist bake another batch of Royal cookies?
Yeah, man. Don't you want to try those?
They had a recipe in there a long time ago, and I can't find mine, but I think she needs to bake a batch.
I figured because I hear those commercials that she's, you know, loading the clubhouse full of them. I have to think they're already there. If they won a title when she debuted those bad boys in 2015, you know they're not running out of stock of those things.
Just a suggestion.
I got you, Gina. Thanks for the phone call. And we appreciate you listening to 96.5 The Fan and the Royals Radio Network. So dialed in to her boys in blue that she knows the commercials. Yeah, those nutrition, I think they're like nutrition balls that she's talking about in those commercials. I'd love to try one of them. Let's go to Doug in Kansas City. Doug's next up on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals drop a seventh straight. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, as absurd as it might sound, unrealistic, I'm wondering, can they bring up Jack Caglione? Because they don't have nothing to lose by bringing him up.
Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, they can bring him up. He can't be on the playoff roster because he wasn't there by the 1st of September. But, yeah, they could bring up last month's or July's top pick, Jack Caglione. Boy, did he have a great week last week. Hit 300. Again, he's at high A Quad Cities, right? Not even hitting at double A. But yeah, last week he had, five multi-hit games in that six-game stretch. Hit 300. More than half of his hits for extra bases. Caglione tonight, 0-for-3. He did score a run. Caglione hitting 250 in A-ball. Yeah, they could. I don't think they will. I don't know if that would be all that fair to the 21-year-old. Hey, young man, congratulations on being a first-round pick, man. We're really proud of you. I know you worked really hard. Yeah, we've lost seven in a row, and the offense is doing absolutely nothing. So can you come and save the day? I know you haven't played in AA or AAA, but can you come up here and save the day? Anything is possible, and there are no bad ideas. But boy, you talk about putting a young man in a very difficult situation. Not to say that he wouldn't flourish. But boy, you're really messing with that dude's mentals if he doesn't come up and save the day. Because then it's just a whole off season of, well, I don't know him well enough to know how lost he could get in his own head, but I mean, he's human. And if he comes up and his first experience in the big leagues is, you know, a standing ovation for his first AB because we're expecting you to turn it around and you take an offer. You know what? Why not? Call him up. No, I'm just joking. No, I'm not in favor of that. But again, there are no bad ideas when you're brainstorming for a team that has now lost 7 in a row, first time all season. Royals have lost 9 of 13 in the Riptide, being outscored by 25 runs in the first 13 games. Let's go to Fred in Kansas City. Fred, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to know, I've been out of town for a while. I'm a first-time caller. But I've been a fan for a long, long time in the Kansas City A's and shit. But I'd like to know, where is our manager at right now? What's wrong with him? I just got back in town. I'm trying to find out.
Yeah, Jalen Thompson tweeted this out earlier that Matt Quatrero's mother passed away.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Thoughts are, of course, with Matt Quatrero and his entire family, the Royals family. Obviously, very saddened by the news. Heartbroken, of course. But Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star does report that Q is expected to return tomorrow to the bench. Let's go to Sal in Kansas City. Sal, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I have a question about the future here. So we make it into the playoffs, and even if we exited early or went deep versus not making the playoffs at all, what do you think John Sherman does this off season with either of those scenarios? Where do they go? Bullpen, a bat, both? What do they do now that they're competitive?
Well, you certainly, thanks for the phone call. I can't imagine you start taking your foot off the gas pedal. Now, I don't think they're going to spend $100 million again this offseason like they did this past offseason. But, you know, Michael Wacha has a decision to make. Does he want to return for 1 year and $16 million, or does he want to head back into free agency? You know, if Wacha returns, well, then your rotation is set. So you don't have to, you know, spend $15+ million on bringing in another starter. But if Wacha does test free agency, then I think you have some money to play with. And the question is, where do you allocate that? To me, I'm looking for a third baseman. That would be my target. A third baseman, a corner outfielder. That's what I'm looking to bolster up the offense. Bullpen. How do you shore up a bullpen? You know, you're always turning over your relievers year in and year out. It's always new faces out there, and you hope that this pitching department that has done such a great job to go along with the scouting department, they've done a brilliant job of bringing in unknown names that have come here and performed well. Had nice stretches. You know, Sam Long, James MacArthur, John Schreiber, they've all, Lucas Erceg. Now we can go on and on. So, of course, yeah, you're always bringing in new relievers. I don't know if, well, I don't believe that they're going to go out and spend the kind of money to go get a true closer, a big money closer. No, I think they're comfortable with Hunter Harvey and Lucas Erceg next season battling it out for the 8th and 9th inning spots. So, yeah, I think the focus will be improve the offense, improve the corners in the outfield, and, of course, at third base. So, well, I mean, Hunter Renfro's back next year. You know, MJ Melendez and Kyle Isbell are back. Michael Massey, Mikel Garcia, I'll let them platoon at second base and, you know, bring me in a good bat at third base. That's what I would look at. Thanks for the phone call. But everything that we've seen from this ownership group when paired with J.J. Piccolo in this front office, they've been aggressive for a year now. From last year's trade deadline, which they won, to this offseason, which they also won. Aggressive with Bobby, aggressive in free agency. I thought they were aggressive throughout spring training when Alec Marsh won the job and they gave it to him, even though they were paying Jordan Lyles and, you know, Royals teams that I've been a part of in the past would have given that job to Jordan Lyles, but Alec Marsh earned it. I think they stayed aggressive really throughout the season, right? They They didn't stick with Will Smith long in the closer's role. They went to James MacArthur. I think top to bottom, organizationally, owner, GM, manager, players, it's been foot on the pedal since last December. Shoot, look at what they've done in the past week. Vinny goes down and they're taking swings. Right, sure, Robbie Grossman, anything that we think can help. Yuli Gurriel, bring your 40-year-old tail here. Come on, Tommy Pham, come save the day and be our leadoff hitter. Now, I'll give credit to the organization. They've never said, all right, well, let's just wait on this. Let's just see where this goes. No, they are proactive, and I think that's all you can ask for as a fan. 913-586-7965. I always have a list of callers. Whoever's back there producing today, it's the great Blake Schneiders, kind enough to help us out tonight. Always gives me the list of who's on hold. Well, there's a few right now that have might be drunk next to their name. And if you think it's you, yeah, it probably is you. Let's go to Brett in California. Brett, it's not you. I can tell you that. What's going on, buddy? Oh, we just lost Brett. Okay, maybe it was you. Maybe Brett said, oh, I've been figured out. Let me bail. Tim in the Northland, I can promise it's not you either. You do not sound drunk, according to our
producer. Yeah, no. Might be drunk.
Oh. There. Tim, what's happening?
Yes.
Tim, come on, buddy. What do you got?
Yeah, hey, sorry there. I've been waiting for about an hour. You know, I think this team has a mental problem since they had the injury with Lorenzen, especially for a first baseman and all.
Vinny, yep.
I think on Thursday they need to walk across the street. And I think they need to enjoy a game across the street as a team. And I think they need to meet with the part owner over there across the street and get some inspiration. They have the ability, obviously, but right now they need a big mental switch.
It's a good point. Yeah, I'm sideline passes, hook them up. Yeah, have Patrick come over, dap up the boys. I'm with it. That's a great idea, Tim.
I really think it's all mental right now.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not going to fight you. You know what Yogi Berra said, 90% of the game is half mental. Yeah, no fighting on that
one. There you go.
Yeah. Tim, I appreciate you hanging on, man. Sorry it took so long. I appreciate you holding on. The reason why it's taken so long, I promise it's not just because I'm long-winded. It's because Royals fans are in. Well, I know they're not all in on coming to the games, but they are all in on listening, reacting, watching, supporting, albeit from afar. Let's try Big T in Shawnee. Big T, you know about it, man. You used to always jump right to the front of the line. Now we got a lot of callers suddenly. It's been fun this year.
That's right. That's right. This is why you can't be mad, everybody. What Vern just said, man. Hey, Vern's right. When they're going great and the phone lines are jammed and everybody wants to get in, baby, woo, it's the fan. Everybody wants to get on there and have a piece of the pie. And you're right, Vern. Somebody's called. Turning over every rock to help this team just get through it, man. And speaking about Matt,
what's the solution? What's the solution, Big T? Give me an answer here.
Well, the solution is not to get mad at this team. It's jump aboard and be positive and encourage them. And even though they're going through this now, encouragement goes a lot of ways, baby. Like that Rex Hudler, that positive reinforcement, that pick up your team. Hey, Vinny's out, so let somebody try to pick him up.
Yeah, but Big T, Hud is offering that positivity to the players when he's talking to them on a daily basis. Whether you're positive on the radio or not, well, you know what? I mean, the guys do listen on their way home. So you know what? I apologize. Continue.
No, I hear what you're saying, and Hud's good at that. But you know, I think if people wanted to be mad, where were they between 17 and 23? That was the time to be bad, Burn. We were pissed off. We were punching bags and slamming our hands on the table.
But nobody's really mad, Big T. I'm not hearing people mad. I've heard disappointment.
Well, no,
they're
talking about
they
would be mad if they don't make the playoffs. And I say that's no. I would be disappointed.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
But I'm not going to be mad, man. I'm rolling with this team, and we're going through it right now. But the offense, not like my coach used to say, he goes, man, you're thinking about it too much. Just rip it and grip it. Grip it and rip it. That's all you need to do. Just hit the ball, see the ball, like Bobby says, see the ball. I haven't seen a losing streak like this all year, Vern, and it's kind of freaking me out. But maybe this is what they need, because I haven't done this in a while. We're going to get the win tomorrow. This is what they need, and as always, let's go Royals.
Well, Big T, I appreciate the optimism. They did not need a 7-game losing streak, I can tell you that right now. No, they didn't need this. And I haven't heard Royals fans say, I'll be mad if they don't make the playoffs. Sure, you could be disappointed. You could be even angry for it. You could be mad for a moment, but you'll get past it pretty quick when you look back on all the fun we've had in 2024, going from 106 losses to now on pace for 87 wins. Now, I haven't heard anyone, this season will be a disappointment if they don't make it to October. Now, come on. And if there is anyone saying that, they're just trying to get attention, likely on social media, right? No, I'm not worried about that whatsoever. But you mentioned Bobby. See the ball, hit the ball. Bobby did just that tonight, 2-for-3 with the walk. His major league leading 57th multi-hit game of the season. Bobby leads Major League Baseball with a .340 batting average and 189 base hits. He's on pace for 218 knocks this year. That would be second most in Royals franchise history, second only to the great Willie Wilson, who had 230 base hits back in the summer of 1980. Bobby Witt Jr., not only number one in baseball with a .340 batting average, only Aaron Judge currently has a higher OPS than Bobby Witt Jr. Our Witt Watch is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Visit communityamerica.com to join. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. We take our final quick time out. Get back to your phone calls after this.
You're listening to Vern's Postgame Show.
Witt dives, smothers it on the grass to his feet, throw to first. Oh, he got him! What a play! Bobby Witt Jr.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Takes off on the first pitch, breaking ball. Taken down low, and the throw down to second in time. Freddie Fermin throws out Jose Ramirez. Bobby applies the tag. Inning over.
Great call. Steve Stewart, as heard here on 96.5 The Fan, the second of two caught stealings. Courtesy of the right arm of Freddie Fermin, he's now thrown out 13 of 33 potential base stealers this season. It's the highest percentage of caught stealing among all qualified catchers in Major League Baseball. Freddie 0-for-3 with the walk. Did a nice job behind the dish, guiding Brady Singer through 5 2/3 innings of two-run baseball and nabbing two would-be base stealers. And yet the Royals lose 7-1 the final score, a seventh straight loss for the first time in more than a year. You have to go back to last June when the Royals lost 10 in a row. Yeah, 7 in a row, they're in the worst funk that they've been in all season. No surprise, it aligns with the loss of Vinny Pasquantino. And yet, it's all good, right? That's what I've heard from so many of you over the past 4 or 5 days. And I'm done fighting. It's hard to fight, especially since Boston refuses to capitalize. The Royals are still 4.5 games up on both Boston and Detroit for that final playoff spot. Seattle lost in Oakland, so they remain 5.5 back of the Royals. You know, my only request when Vinny exited for the season, my only request to this team was just hang on. I don't care how you get there. I don't need it to be pretty. They don't care about your strength of schedule when you get to October. They just say, oh, you made it? Okay, here's your opponent. I just want them to get there. I want to see Bobby on that stage. I want to give Salvi that opportunity. I want Lugo and Reagans and Singer and Walker to be recognized for the seasons that they've had. And I want the fans that have been brought back to baseball this season to get a taste. Even if it's a series that is happening down in Houston, right? There isn't a home game here at Kauffman Stadium. That's fine. I just know there's a lot of new baseball fans in Kansas City, and boy, wouldn't that be nice to give them a little taste of what Kansas City can be like with October baseball. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. Royals have 22 games to play with a 4.5-game lead. Let's go to Charlie in Kansas City. Charlie, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Vern. I think it's like the previous caller said before. It's more mental than anything. And I think, you know, with the pressure of us going through, you know, playing all the first place teams basically and having a long stretch, getting through that the second time is kind of hard on us because, you know, the first time we did fairly well, but this time around it's hard because it's, you know, you're late in the season, you're trying to win a division, and now you're, you know, still holding on for the wild card. And I think, you know, between that and having Vinny out of the lineup, I think he was your clubhouse leader, like your shields they were talking about. Yeah. I think he was more that person. And having him gone, I think, you know, your captain just needs to be your captain and play. And your 30 for 30 needs to be, you know, on board too. And it don't help that when he gets up to bat, the last couple homers he's hit, nobody's been on base. And, you know, having Renfro gone and everything else, it's just the season's winding down and the pressure's still on. And I think it's like you said, it's more a mental thing now rather than a physical all around.
Yeah, maybe. Charlie, I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, man. Opens up a phone line for you. 913-586-7965. Yeah, maybe it is mental. Of course it has something to do with it. Sure. Braxton in Liberty, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. So I want to touch on 3 points briefly. I think this season overall is a win for us. I mean,
of course.
Ride, that's bare minimum. That's in the books. Mark that off. Second of all, I think this losing streak and losing Vinny, that's like the first real hard adversity that we've had to go through. I think our defense, everyone's kind of feeling the reverberations of that happening. We're kind of battling against that. You know, it is what it is. There's ups and downs. But also, thirdly, baseball is a game of ups and downs, man. It happens. Everybody's streaky. If we can, there's 20-something games left.
22.
If we're going through this, 22 games left. If we're going through this dark stretch now, if we can come out of it, gain some confidence, get some swagger back, get some good starts going, get some hits with runners in scoring position, get some great starts, 6-7 innings, have a couple of great bullpen outings, catching that upswing and getting that confidence back and that swagger right at the end of the season coming into the playoffs, I think it could be a good thing. You know, it's just hopeful now, but, you know, I think it could be a good thing. I still see that potential. And
yeah, winning
I don't
would be a good thing. Yes. Winning would be a good
obviously.
Thing. Playing well would be a good thing. Yeah.
Well, obviously, yeah. I think that there's still room to catch that upswing. And I just want to – I'm really proud of our boys. The city's really proud of our boys. We're thankful and – you know, we're thankful for you for covering this, giving us this opportunity, this forum to talk. It's great. The energy's back in the city, and let's just keep going, baby. Don't give up.
All right, Braxton, appreciate the phone call. I'd push back on this is the first adversity this team has faced. I think when Michael Wacha went down and you had to face the Yankees and Dodgers back-to-back, that was a pretty rough stretch. And you had Dan Altavilla making starts. Almost swept at home in a 4-game series by the Yankees. This team's faced adversity before, and anyone that was on last year's team knows all about adversity. Now, September playoff race adversity, yeah, it's quite different than we're barreling towards the franchise record in losses. I appreciate the phone call, Braxton, and I love the optimism, buddy. Let's go to Jim and Shawnee. Jim, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan, as the Royals are now still 10 games above 500 at 75-65. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, Vern, I heard Joel or Jake say on the broadcast, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that Royals leadoff hitters have only been on base 10% of the time. So, and the three hole right now isn't really producing.
10% of the time, like since when?
10% of the 10 for this year.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, and the three hole hitter is really not producing right now. So why not consider having Bobby bat leadoff, and then put somebody like Massey or Pham in the two hole to try to get him over to second or third, and then you got Salvi and DeJong coming up.
Sure.
What do you think?
Sure. Yeah, there are no bad ideas. Yeah, we talk about Bobby hitting leadoff for months now. Yeah. But I think Bobby's at his best mentally when he's hitting two. Now, he talked about it last year when they put him in the leadoff spot, that he would think about it a little bit too much at night. Now, that was a year ago. He's a much different man, ball player, leader. Maybe that wouldn't be the case. So, yeah, there are no bad ideas. Sure, you want to put Bobby in the leadoff spot, go for it.
Yeah,
the only thing I want to see Bobby and Salvi both in the top three. I want my two best hitters coming to the plate in the first inning. That's the only thing that I request.
No, I think Bobby can handle the leadoff spot right now.
Well, of course, he can handle anything. I'm just going off of what he said last year, that he didn't enjoy really being the leadoff guy. So I want to make sure he's in a good spot.
All right.
Jim, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. Let's go to Paul and Lawrence. You're next up on the postgame show. Paul, what's happening?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Vern. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How things can change. 1 week ago, I think we had caught the proverbial lightning in a bottle. We're about to sweep the Indians for the first time in Cleveland in 51 years. And then I think the lightning that we caught in the bottle turned face and went the other direction. And unfortunately, we find ourselves in a very, we're staring in the eyes of adversity. And it is not just the first time this year. This is, I think I agree that the Yankee-Dodger series was definitely a valley that we went into. But something we need to remember is in September of 2015, we hit a pretty bad swoon there and had to get our mojo back to keep home field advantage.
This team ain't 2015, man.
Houston.
You know that. This ain't 2015. Yeah. This team didn't go to the World Series last year.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think what we need to remember, though, there was some players that we followed. Alex Rios was one. Who I don't know how many times we talked about him after games, and do we replace him? You know, we brought him in from the White Sox. He was supposed to be the right fielder to change things. But if you remember in that game four against the Astros, Rios led off that inning with a sharp single to center field. I think there's opportunities here where we can build a gear. Replacing Vinny, I think he was the hottest player in baseball. I think he made Witt a much stronger hitter, and certainly tonight we saw that where they pitched around him to get to Salvi. And, I mean, ultimately, it's going to be hard over these last few games. But, you know, if you believe in the baseball gods, you bring in some folks, and we have a couple good games where we can turn it around. The perseverance is going to help. And I do think, unfortunately, these injuries are tough to get by. But Lorenzen looks like will be back before the end of the season. That's going to help. And, you know, we just got to get our mojo back. I think we're a little bit in shock from losing our leader. And it wasn't just him. Lorenzen was at 1.99 ERA and had won three games and was pitching really good. And I think, you know, we were on the heels of taking out the Indians and winning our division. So now we're back to just trying to get the wild card, and I think we can do it, but we just have to have perseverance.
Thanks. Got you down. Thank you. Appreciate the phone call, Paul. Let's go to Brett in California. Nice enough to dial us back after getting disconnected. Go ahead, Brett.
Sorry about that. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment that we played 14 games tomorrow in 13 days. And a day off, I think this team really needs badly. And okay. I would actually like it to see it rain one of the games, or at least the Thursday game.
Yeah, they have the off day on Thursday. They have the next three Thursdays off.
Thank God, because I think they're tired. They look tired. They're really struggling at the plate, like everybody has said. And I don't think the division's out of the question yet, because Cleveland still has to come out and play the Dodgers. They still have to play Minnesota. That series against Minnesota, to me, is going to be where we either make it or break it.
Yeah, all right. We have you down, Brett. I appreciate it. Well, if the division is still up for grabs, then this postseason spot that the Royals possess is still very much up for grabs. Royals are 5.5 games back of Cleveland, but 4.5 games clear of Detroit and Boston for that final playoff spot. Hey, well, tomorrow's obviously a big game, and I have two pair of tickets to tomorrow night's game. And there's nothing that drives me more mad than tickets going to waste. As someone that grew up going to one game maybe a year, boy, to see tickets go to waste drives me crazy. So how about this? Royals lost, 7-1? Let's say the first caller and the seventh caller to 913-586-7965. The tickets are yours. 913-586-7965. Caller 1, caller 7, the tickets are yours. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:30 on the On Deck Show, live from Kauffman Stadium. Thank you very much for listening. Take care.
Been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Pasquantino smacks it deep to right field, his second home run of the game.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 96.5thefan.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.